This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Well, good afternoon, and Brent, it seems like yesterday I said, it's Monday.
And
but
here
today,
we are.
Here it is, Friday already.
Such is the pace of modern life. Welcome, everyone, to Friday Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. This
yes,
is KYKN. This is a place for local talk. The only place really in the Mid-Valley to get great local talk with some of our leaders, some of our movers and shakers. We'll be talking to one of the shakers and movers here shortly. I've got huge news.
Really?
It's going to come after the first break.
Okay.
But it's huge. It's so hot off the presses that it's not in the presses yet.
Sweet.
Yes.
I'd like to hear that.
Hold on to that. It is Friday. We'll be finishing up our hour talking to the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes and talking about a couple of very exciting and new stuff and some in the news, both in legislature and in downtown Salem.
Absolutely.
So, but starting out our hour today, we're going to highlight a person like we like to do who is doing good work in the city of Salem that owns a small business in the city of Salem. I'm getting a nod, and I was like, I didn't check his address, but you know, it's a local company, and is being nationally recognized.
That is sweet.
So in the studio today, we have Dan Summers, and I just met Dan, actually. Hadn't met him before. He's the owner of Advantage Heating, and he was recognized nationally through Rood, which is a manufacturer that you represent the product.
That's correct, yes.
Right. So welcome to the studio, Dan.
Well, thank you.
It's great to have you. Appreciate you coming in. And thanks for doing such a great work in the community. We were talking before the show started. All right. First of all, you're here. We're going to talk about this great award you just got. But
okay.
We have to start by talking. Well, you're in the community. You've been in and out of the industry. 1992, which is forever ago.
Right.
It really feels like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary to me how many people I meet that were not born in the 90s. You know,
or earlier.
But anyway. 1992, you started your job on a shoestring, right?
I did. I had a little red S10 pickup, 1985, and $350, three kids and a wife, and a lot of ambition.
Wow. An S10 pickup, $350. I think I'll start my own business.
That's exactly what I did, and I quit my job, and away I went.
Wow. And how'd you get your first client?
I actually went door-to-door, and I just started talking to people and letting them know what I had available, and people just seemed to... It was really difficult. I didn't get my first client for a little while, but...
Huh. So what is your organization look like now? What is your nationally recognized organization look like now?
Right now, we're running about 35 employees.
What?
That's big. Yeah, we have several trucks on the road, and if you see a yellow truck that says Vantage Heating on the side, that's us. We don't have them all yellow yet, but we're kind of switching over to the yellow. But we've got a great team. We're actually we're a family.
It's the
Advantage Heating family.
Well, that is nice to know, and that some of those things are overlooked when people talk about the business community and owning your small business. One, the risk that you take with nothing, and you had a wife at the time, right?
I did,
and three kids. Wow.
And three kids at the time, the guy who sets out in his S10 pickup. Wow. But now you have 35 people whose jobs you created.
Yeah, and sometimes that's really scary.
I'd give you an award just for that.
Well, thank you.
All right, tell us a little bit about Rood is the manufacturer and their recognition of you.
So what they do is we were one of the shakers, as you had said, and we won this award because of our reviews on the internet and the way that we treat our customers. We always try to treat them like family as well. You know, I look at our customers and I say, okay, are we treating them like I would treat my mom? You know, how I would want my mom treated. And so that's kind of how everybody looks at our customers in the entire company. And so they flew me out to Florida, and out of about 5,000 or 6,000 companies that were Rood Pro partners, we ended up being in the top 10.
Wow.
Holy cow. So we're talking about shakers, and there were also movers. So there's distinct. They're giving. They're the, recognition for movers are people that are moving the most product.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And it sounds like you're recognized as the people who doing the best job for the clients.
Correct. That was really exciting for me, to be able to be recognized in front of over 1,800 other contractors that came to the conference. There's 6,000 contractors out there, but they didn't all make it to the conference. I really, really was humbled, and I really felt like I felt sad that I couldn't have my entire team up there because it's not just me.
Right.
I didn't do this by myself. I can't do that without, you know, the people that are answering the phones, without, I actually have 4 kids that are actually work with me and everyone that works there, they don't work for me. We work together. And so they work with me. I hate saying that I have employees because I don't.
Well, you do, because the government's going to make sure you have responsibilities.
Well, that is true.
One of the things that I like in small business, the attitude, is that the employer, Dan Summers here, Advantage Heating, he doesn't pay the wages. The customer pays the wages.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And once you've internalized that, you can know that it's not going to come out of Dan's pocket. You all get paychecks because the customer writes a check.
Absolutely.
So the customer pay, and that's a great, I tried to instill that in my small businesses in the past, and it sounds like, hey, let's treat everybody like it's my mom.
Yeah.
And great. All right, tell us a little bit about Advantage Heating and what you do and don't do. Obviously, you help heat houses.
Yeah, we do pretty much everything. Anything from replacing the ductwork to replacing systems, whether it's heat pumps, gas furnaces, air conditioners. We do pretty much everything. We do some new construction. We do some light commercial. We don't get into the industrial side of things. I feel like we should focus on what we're good at, and we're not good at that. We tried it once, and it didn't work out so good.
Okay.
So we've decided to stay mostly with residential and, like I said, the light commercial.
And how much of your work is new construction, new houses? Because we know, new houses are on the uptick the last 12, 18 months, a fair bit.
Yeah, I think we're probably about 20% is all in that. We really found our niche with, like I said, treating everyone like my mom, and that's what my guys do. If they were to walk into a home, they need to make sure that they're putting shoe covers on, that they're, treating the house well, that they're cleaning up after themselves, and, really doing a professional good job.
Awesome. All right, Dan, I have to ask this because you've been doing this for so long. What do you put in your house? We talk about, and the reason I ask, there's the natural gas versus electric, there's heat pump versus furnace, and so forth. What do you guys like?
So I, in my own personal house, actually have a hybrid system. So I do have natural gas with a high-efficient heat pump. Most of the time, we're heating on the heat pump, but then I have a natural gas backup. Some people don't have that option. I had that option because I had natural gas available. So I would, if someone doesn't have natural gas available, I would talk to them about a high-efficient heat pump with an electric backup. Uh-huh. So that's, we do, like I said, we do the ductless, which is a very high-efficient piece of equipment.
Those are very cool.
They're really cool.
So on the ductless, how much of a house can it handle?
So we do the whole house. We've done new construction with ductless, and we walk in and size a home, and we can pretty much take care of the whole home.
Is that far more efficient than what we've seen in like apartments or smaller houses or older houses where they just have heat cadets and
they
things
have the
like
cadet
that.
Heaters. Then that's the cadet heaters. When I actually moved into my house, I had the baseboard, which are really bad.
Oh,
the baseboards.
They were terrible.
Oh,
my. Hate those things.
Yeah, you could actually, by putting in the ductless, you could. And I'm not saying this. There was a study done by PGE and. People that know a whole lot more than I do, and they say 50-75% savings in comparison to those.
Wow.
Are there still, and Dave, you're going to forgive me if we go along on this segment.
Right? I don't care.
Okay, so are there still any sort of incentives out there to go high energy?
There are.
I mean, high efficiency.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes, there are. And if you're with Salem Electric has a program about $1,500 in the form of a rebate. And what we do is we actually can take that off of your cost of the equipment and everything and the whole job, and then we'll wait for the rebate and we get it. If you're on PGE, there's about $1,000 that we can. That we have available to us, and we can do the same thing. There's on the bill financing. There's all kinds of really creative ways to get people that are spending way too much money, you know, a couple $300 on electric bill to heat their home. And most of the time the payment is less than what they were paying, you know? So, I mean, we can save a lot of money.
You literally see the dollar bills flying out the window grass.
Right?
Yeah, that is correct.
All right. In the studio with us at Newsmakers is Dan Summers. He's the owner along with Becky.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That wife that trusted you when you stepped out in your S10 pickup in 1982. Kudos to Becky. Way to go. And his kids and his entire crew. If you're listening, Advantage Heating, boy, it's nice to be working in a culture like that.
Yeah, congrats. The
Rude Pro Partner Award, national recognition, just recently, right?
That was just like 2 weeks ago. I was in Florida.
And not for being the biggest, but being one of the best.
Being the best, yeah.
And that's right here in Salem, Oregon, folks.
Yeah, top 10 in the nation.
Like top 10 in the nation.
All right.
That's outstanding.
We're going to take a break so I can come back with my hot, not yet on the presses news.
Okay.
So stick with us, everybody. You're listening to Newsmakers on Friday with Brent and Dave, 1430 KYKN Salem. Listening.
Thanks, Dan.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Warren, and it's Friday. We've got some good news. Got some great community news, actually.
Yeah.
And frequent listeners might be familiar with the community effort to retract commercial air service back to Salem. By commercial, I mean we fly out of here on a major airline to a major hub.
We've talked about that.
So I've been involved in that, heavily involved in that as a volunteer, kind of a Chamber of Commerce volunteers, one of their representatives, and in the steering committee and so on and so forth. But yesterday, big news, in front of the Oregon Department of Aviation has a grant program to help encourage aviation in Oregon, specifically more rural or aviation in Oregon. And the board voted yesterday to grant the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce a $500,000 grant to pursue this goal.
Nice.
Yeah. Huge, huge news. It allows the community to have the funds to go through the recruitment effort and also to market the service regionally when it arrives, and also to help with a revenue guarantee fund, which is one of the enticement tools that they use to attract an airline. So three components of that, but it does total $500,000. Also awarded yesterday was similar grants to go to Medford, Rogue Valley Airport, and in Klamath Falls.
Oh, sweet.
Can't remember what they call their airport, but Klamath Falls. Klamath Falls has had service down there, lost it, had it, lost it. They're trying
they
to
attract need it.
Service to San Francisco to connect. You know, it's a little isolated. It's
yeah,
probably
a little.
Oh,
it's not, quite a drive.
Not quite 2 hours.
Yeah.
An hour and a half maybe to Medford. But it's a good jaunt. And yeah, they have zero service out there. But they also only have 100,000 people in their whole region.
That's
that
still a lot of people.
From. Well, compared to Salem and McNary Field here in Salem, 579,000 people.
Yeah.
And in our draw area, they call it the catchment area. Anyway, Medford was also given an award of a grant. This, so everyone knows, the money comes from aviation taxes. So here we are, the government's taxing the money and putting it back into the activity in the industry in which it taxes. So lo and behold, in case everybody says, well, we need to spend that money on homeless. Well, that's a different, completely different pot and stream of money.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what it means for Salem. The conversation, we've been doing a lot of groundwork in the community about it, but we have not gone to the airlines yet. The conversation starts later this month, and next month we'll have another update. We'll have another segment with an update because we will for the first time have had a conversation face to face with airline representatives to say, feel the water.
Right.
Okay. We could be not successful. We could take 2 years to get it done. We could have service a year from today.
Okay. You just never know.
I think it's somewhere in the middle. Honestly, I try to be realistic about these things, and everybody needs to set their expectations. But we are beginning with the help of the ROAR. They call it ROAR is the program name. ROAR grant from the Department of Aviation, State Department of Aviation. It gives us the funding to hire a consultant to go and do this outreach and commission studies and so on and so forth. So that's really terrific. It really gets wind in the sails. And right now, there's a big community push to raise the money for the fund. And that will be one of the enticement tools for the airline and so forth. But huge news. Huge news for some of those tax dollars to land in Salem.
Absolutely. So, and who could say no to you? Come on.
Well, it wasn't me. You know, the applicant was...
Are you doing the presentation?
I happen to have done part of the presentation.
Okay, so how can they say no to you? Come on.
Believe it or not, people do. But I was just there, again, on my capacity as a volunteer. And Tom Hoffert, who is the CEO of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, was representing Salem and the chamber and before the Oregon Board of Aviation. And, they sought upon him to grant our proposal. So... again, it's going to fund three things. One, the funds to go about the recruitment process.
Right.
This is a long process, folks. We're not going to get commercial air service tomorrow. However, this is huge news.
Right.
Two, it's going to contribute to a guarantee fund that is an enticement fund for the airline. And three, and this is a huge component, if an airline comes, somebody has to pay for the advertising.
Right.
So people in Fall City, people in... Mill City, all over the county, all over the region, people in Corvallis have to know that Salem's now an option when it comes, right?
Right.
So there needs to be a marketing budget. And fortunately, we put all of that, what we think we need for a two-year marketing effort into this grant, and it was awarded.
Nice.
So and part of our enticement to the airlines, when we start talking to them, will be, hey, we've got over $250,000 to market your service and get people to choose Salem instead of choosing PDX. To let them, you know, frankly, I think people are going to choose it anyway because it's so much easier,
right?
It's going to be like so much less time and so much quicker, so much more convenient. But the awareness, when the service starts, where it goes, where you can connect to.
Right.
Right. So, I don't know. I think people, personally, I think people in Wilsonville down will choose the service.
Well, yeah, because that's such a drive.
All the way to Detroit, to the east.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in Corvallis fly out of PDX and not out of Eugene. So we give them another option that's in between. That is huge market segment. So that is great news. Great news. Thank you to the Oregon Department of Aviation. Thank you to the legislature that authorized the tax to fund the program. Because now we are seeing it. Frankly, it's... probably kind of how it should work. Now we are seeing an emotion where Southwest Oregon's getting some money, you know, and Southeast Oregon and Klamath region is going to get some money, and Sam's going to get some money and help to have more aviation transportation options in the entire state. All right. If you have any questions on that, we'll do a whole show on it or something maybe in a month. But feel free to contact us. You can email us at kyknewsmakers@gmail.com. If you like, and I will personally get that email, kyknewsmakers@gmail.com. All right. So, and since we have a couple more minutes, I'm going to give you a little highlight on what it is we're after. So people know we're after a major carrier to go to a major hub. Then as a community, we're going to have to support the service. You know, some people want Seattle. Some people, you know, really want this either to go to Seattle or want the connectivity and they want to fly Alaska. Some people really want some hub to go back east. It's for business travel and so forth. So that because they're transferring in Denver or Salt Lake City or Minneapolis or Kansas City or something. And a lot of people want California. The number one destinations for people out of our area is the Los Angeles Basin and Las Vegas San Francisco Bay Area, Phoenix. A lot of it's down south. So everyone's got a different opinion. Everyone's like, sure. This is what I would prefer. And what we're gonna do, what we're gonna get is what will work with the first airline that will take a risk on Salem.
Right? Another should jump in, right?
Yes. Yeah, so in my mind, the plan will be to support whatever service comes to the extent that they want to expand the service.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So, and I think that's very, very feasible, very, very possible. You look at some of the airports around in the West Coast, Everett, Washington, Santa Rosa, some of these smaller markets that they're getting service, and within a few years, I mean, Everett, they've got 23 flights from zero, almost immediately.
Wow, right? That's impressive.
So we're not going to do that, but we are going to build, we're going to go north, south, and east. And I think as a community, as we support the service, and if the airline says, yeah, this was successful, then we will get our next destination, and then our next destination. So no sour grapes if we don't get our first choice the first time.
Right.
But we're all going to celebrate. So United is a likelihood. Alaska is a likelihood. SkyWest flying for Alaska or United is a likelihood. San Francisco is high on the list of things that are feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're traveling to the Bay Area or connecting out of San Francisco to about 140 cities worldwide, right?
That's pretty big.
Seattle, obviously, to the north, and Denver. That would be our three targets unless something surprises us. And, there's always a wild card. You never know. American could say, you know what? We want to grab Salem and fly to our hub in Los Angeles. Right now, that's not on the radar, but, we're not going to rule anything out.
Right.
But right now, folks, so you know, United or Alaska is a major carrier to a major hub like Denver, San Francisco, and Seattle. All right, we're going to take a break. We can talk about some local news, but I wanted to share that with you all. So stick with us on Newsmakers, and we're going to talk about our clocks changing or not changing and what the update is there. 1430 KYKN, Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, friends, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're going to talk about some of the news here, what's going on in the city of Salem, some of the things reported with the Salem Reporter. By the way, I met some of the reporters the other day for the Salem Reporter.
You did?
Yep. I'm going to shamelessly plug them.
Nice.
Yeah. Most of them on the younger side. Most of them are, they strike me as idealistic kind of journalists.
How many do they have now? Do you know?
I don't know. I know there's some collaboration where they have brought in somebody who writes for another publication, and they're cooperating with their reporting duties.
Yeah.
Especially at the Capitol. And I say that idealistic, and I got to tell you, a lot of people don't trust journalists anymore. They're either sensationalistic or they're agenda driven and things like that. Salem Report is a little different. They try to be non-biased and they try to do their research.
Sure.
So they're investigative report instead of perhaps the soundbite USA Today thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't rate USA Today. I read it every time I go to an airport and need something to read. However, all right, Salem Reporter, I like them. I subscribe. I like a little bit more in-depth in my articles, and I like that they're local and they're trying to do journalism, right? So anyway, so they had an open invitation. If you want to talk to us about what we're doing in the community, head on down. It was a local establishment, went on down, shook a couple of hands, and gave them a couple of ideas for stories.
Oh, really?
Of course, we had the publisher of Salem Reporter, Les Zeitz, on Newsmakers early on, actually.
Very early.
We'd love to have him back, or maybe we'll have one of the reporters who's breaking a big story on and have him talk about it. Anyway, I like their work and some of the things that that they report upon. So daylight savings time, we were talking about passed the Senate. That's in the news. That's in the news. So want to make sure everybody understands that when we spring forward, we're going on DST. There's DST, there's PST, there's
right.
Pacific Standard Time or Pacific
That's
Daylight.
That's usually during the wintertime?
Yeah. Yeah, 4 months during the wintertime.
Okay.
So
right now we're on PD.
And the we're on daylight savings time.
Pacific daylight savings
daylight time. So
PTSD.
You're giving me a PTSD. All right. And so the proposal is to stay on daylight savings time year round and not do the front and back. Fall forward, back. So the process, folks, everybody understand, doesn't mean the decision's made. It has to go to the House, right? Oregon passes it. It's going to be contingent upon both Washington and California doing the same thing.
Correct.
And the federal government has to approve it.
Right.
And now even British Columbia is saying, oh, if you guys all go, we might go.
Really?
We want to be in the same thing. I knew this at one time, but Malheur?
Yeah.
Is how you pronounce that county in Eastern Oregon County, because it's closer to Boise. They're on mountain time. I keep forgetting that all of Oregon is not on Pacific time.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's how the process is going to go. Let's go back to the House. It sounds like it's, you know, the governor is favorable. So it looks pretty odd. Odds on favorite that it's going to pass in Oregon and the governor is going to sign it. And we'll see how it falls out in California and Washington.
Yeah. So it's passed one hurdle and it has like four more to go.
And the concern really is how long it'll take for daylight in the winter, right? They won't be in when the days are at their shortest. It's not going to be light until like 9 a.m.
Well, I think during the wintertime, we only have like 7 hours of light anyway, right?
It's dreary. All right. A couple other news highlights here. Another downtown development. This is out of the Statesman Journal today. In the news, the Center for Hope of Safety is tearing down what used to be the old Greyhound station downtown, dilapidated eyesore, by the way. It goes back to Mayor Taylor. Wanted to do something about that in the 2000s. And a community solution was launched. And now, of course, Greyhound has a beautiful terminal facility next to the Amtrak, beautiful historic terminal facility.
Right.
They're off 12th Street. So there was, it was really an eyesore, the bus terminal, and it kind of attracted trash, kind of attracted people and loiterers and this and that. It just wasn't very nice. They shut that down. Center of Hope and Safety bought the building a few years ago, and now that I guess they've paid off the note, they're going to tear it down. They're going to build affordable housing on it.
Hmm.
With a specific purpose. I mean, we had the YMCA represented here a couple weeks ago with Laura Moret, right? And the same kind of thing that the Y provided in different generations were people who are fleeing domestic violence and they're being served by the Hope and Safety, find a safe place to go, and then transitional housing. So it's designed to be affordable, because that's the talk, folks. What's affordable out there?
Right.
How do you take somebody who may have been reliant upon an abusive spouse and find something that's affordable and getting first and last and deposit and a rent level you can afford? So
that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, it can be. It's quite a barrier.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm old.
I don't think I could do that right now. As a matter of fact,
yeah.
Could you? That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a challenge. That's a barrier, folks. I mean, when you're talking about a rent for a two bedroom being over $1,000, say in this area,
it's up near $1,500.
So then you get, you know, you need $2,500 in cash and greenbacks. Just to move in?
No, don't have that.
Anyway, the Center of Hope and Safety will provide low-cost housing for a period of time. I think it's a couple of years. And maybe we can get a representative on Newsmakers. We can talk about this and how the program's going to play out. But it is big news downtown Salem. It seems like every other week we're announcing something. Somebody's going to invest in downtown
Salem. It's revitalizing.
So that's good stuff. Another thing that happened downtown is the Cascade Baking Company. We want to congratulate the owners for their retirement.
Really?
They've sold. Let me get this right.
Cascade Baking Company.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's been a staple downtown, especially if you like your baked goods and your brick baked breads and all that.
If you saw me, you'd probably say yes. He enjoys. I've been trying to cut back.
It's Stephen and Deborah Edwards.
Okay.
They were the founders of Cascade Baking Company. They've been there 19 years, and they think it's time to close the doors.
Wow.
So they sold it to Charlie and Chris Eggert, and they plan to have no interruptions of service. So that's the good news, you folks who are addicted to that bread. No interruption of service. The Eggerts, I think, are quoted in the Statesman article of saying, we like small things that are happening in good places and keeping them You know, so congratulations anyway to Stephen Perkins and Deborah Edwards. Thanks for bringing the community to Cascade Baking Company, and good luck in your retirement. But yeah, then it's any business news like that. We like to highlight our local people that in local in. Both entrepreneurs and then people come up and invest after
them. We should have the retired people coming on that started the company.
Oh, maybe we can have them on and the new owners.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. So go, you pop in there if you want and give them congratulations. But, you know, that's a company. If you go in, you know, this Great Harvest, incredible. I can't even walk within a block of a Great Harvest because it smells so good.
I remember
good,
when
right?
they started.
You know, it's a bigger company and this and that, and they have great things as well. I believe they have a presence downtown, and but Cascade Baking Company is one of Salem's owns, right?
Nice.
So that's good stuff. And one more topic before we break, and we're going to talk about food. It's good Food Friday, and the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. I think someone's going to bring us food.
Nice.
So that's, you know, Brent and Dave are excited.
Really hungry. Yeah.
We are bought easily here.
Easily.
A couple ballot measures have been filed for PERS pensions. We talk about the topic a lot, but this is one of the things moving forward. And they're ballot measure initiatives. They've been filed. There's a it claims to be a bipartisan group, right? So it's well, actually, Ted Kulongoski. We read part of his op-ed last week,
right?
So he's part of this. His quote was, "I believe in the unsustainability of the public employees retirement system is a critical issue, and the time to change is now." So he and other colleagues are offering necessary and responsible changes to PERS, and the proposals are fair to the taxpayers and to the PERS beneficiaries.
Nice.
Good for you, Ted.
Yeah.
Good for the state. You get it done.
Yeah.
I haven't read the particulars, so I'm not stumping for either one of these initiatives, but they have filed two initiatives with two possible solutions they want to put before the voters.
That's good. If I see that petition, I'm going to start getting signatures. They need signatures.
Dave, I'm going to trip you out here.
Really?
Yes. We already talked about what a percentage of each public salary dollar has to go to PERS.
Right.
How incredible that is. It's different for different jurisdictions, but maybe we'll get the mayor to bring that in for what it is in Salem. However, in 2010, PERS pensions cost each Oregon household about $600 a year.
Ouch.
2010. $600, so about $50 a month for every household to pay for PERS.
Okay.
Now it's over $1,500 a year.
Ow.
That's 2.5 times, folks. And we're not even 10 years in. In 9 years, how much it costs Oregonians? 2.5 times what it was in 2010. And we've had a growing economy. Hello.
Right.
Our economy's been growing for these 9 years. Unprecedented length of time for a growth. And now they're projecting in the next few years that $1,500 is going to exceed $2,200.
Ow.
And climb. So it is unsustainable. So do your homework, and we'll see it hit the ballot, hopefully. And hopefully the solutions will find a way to arrest the growth of the PERS catastrophe. All right, you ready to take a break?
I am.
All right, let's take a break. We got some pizza coming in. We got some news from the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. Finish up our last noon hour of the week here on Friday. So stick with us. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday and near the end of our noon hour. So you know what that means? That means Mitch is here. Mitch.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Happy Friday, guys. How's everybody doing?
I like how you always bring us a jolt of energy when you come in.
I know. And today we even brought extra pizza for you.
You brought pizza. I got to tell everybody, I've got this piece of pizza here and I can't even put it in my mouth. It is a brutal. It looks kind of fabulous. It looks like it has like four kinds of meats on it. And Dave's over there making, oh, he's doing the, oh, this is so delicious because Dave is off the mic. Dang it. So Mitch is with the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, of course. And as we've been hearing in recent weeks, they are doing a lot of changes and upgrades and updates, a brand new concept out there with food. He's giving away tickets. They're going to do all sorts of things this spring. Bring back the excitement and bring back the victories. And it's going to be right here on KYKN, of course.
Broadcast. That's right. Every game right here on the radio.
So, Mitch, how's your week been? What news do you have with us this week?
This has been a very busy week. Part of it is that as spring gets going and the sunshine comes out, forget the rain today and yesterday. People start thinking baseball. They start thinking summertime. They start thinking season tickets and everything. So it's been a busy week. I'm really excited with the energy level that's going on inside the office and in the community. There's a couple things that we want to kind of talk about a little bit today. FanFest 2019 on Saturday, May 11th. It's never been done before. We're actually going to create an event around the launch of our season tickets and our 10-game packs and everything like that. So on that Saturday, we're going to have a live music. We're going to have the pitching machine going. If you want to go down there and try to take a couple swings and hit a home run, you can do that. We're going to have the Wheel of Swag. We're going to give away T-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and all kinds of stuff. We're going to have all of our new food vendors there to give out samples of what they're going to be serving at Volcano Stadium this summer. We're going to have auditions for the national anthem. Dave Bourne, you need to be there. I've heard you got an incredible voice.
Dave's shaking his head.
Yeah, and my sales staff will
be
there. The entire Volcano staff will be there to kind of meet and greet, give people the tours, show the new sound system, show the little touches that we're doing around the stadium. This last week, we just had some brand new barberry bushes put in the landscaping, which is that bright red bush that blooms and stays red all summer, which is our colors. So you got that big V inside the stadium, more barberries around. It's just going to be nicer from I-5 mostly. You can see that.
So, Mitch, you may not know this, but I've actually sung the national anthem at Volcano Stadium a few times.
How long ago was that?
It's been a while.
It's been a while?
For some reason, I didn't get invited back.
How about if you come down and do an audition on May 11th?
May 11th.
I think that'd be fun.
All right. What time
do
you want me there?
I want you there at 8 o'clock at night. I think it's a good time for you to come. We'll slot you into that reservation space, okay?
Yeah, just put the volume segment on really, really loud on the new sound system.
Your spot's 8 p.m. It goes from 11 to 3, just so you know. That's okay. That's
Fan
the
fest.
Hours. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to kind of tell you the five people that we have so far that we have given spaces to the inside of the stadium. We have El Patron, which we've announced. They're right here in Salem. Cafe Yum, which is right here in Salem and Kaiser as well. Barbecue Nation, doing beautiful brisket and pulled pork sandwiches. Bahama Mama, Hawaiian Shaved Ice. And the person I have with me today, Chris Reese, is the owner of Southpaw's Pizza down in Albany. And this is going to be his first foyer into brick and mortar up in this area. He's got great plans to expand down into Eugene and over to the eastern Oregon and over into the Salem-Kaiser area. But his first attempt is going to be right here inside of the stadium. And I want to kind of let him talk about what he's doing, what kind of product he's going to be selling, and a little bit about who he is as a businessman, because he does some things that I think our local community really needs to know about him.
All right. So in studio with us is Chris Reese from Southpaw's in Albany. And he was kind enough to bribe us with pizza. Basically, that way we can tell how good it is. How good is it, Dave?
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, it's
awesome. I've had three slices. I'm supposed to have ribs for dinner tonight. That ain't happening, I'll tell you right now.
All right, Chris. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got hooked up with the Volcanoes.
Hey, thanks for having me. First off, Mitch, I appreciate you bringing us down to the team here at Kaiser Volcanoes. So again, my name is Chris Reese. I own Southpaw's Pizza in Albany, Oregon. It's a sports bar pizza place. Our main focus is serving our community. We do nothing more than give everything that we have back to kids, to medical patients, to cancer victims, sending schools and folks to Washington, D.C. trips. We just want to use it as a servant organization. And I want to spread that love to other cities, looking at Eugene and Salem as our next two venues, but super excited about the Kaiser Volcano venue. We're going to offer concessions and sell four types of pizzas there, and it's going to be an awesome opportunity. I love coaching baseball, and I'm looking forward to having my baseball team come to see a lot of Kaiser Volcano games this year.
That is terrific. What level are you coaching?
I have the third and fourth grade team this year.
Third and fourth. So what ages is that?
Those are 9, 10-year-olds.
9 and 10. Mm-hmm. Okay, what fun. I remember doing that. It was actually quite rewarding. It was really fun.
Best thing ever.
For me, I've always been big into the teaching component of being involved with kids and knowing the sport, loving the sport, teaching people to love the sport.
Yes, it's all about fundamentals and fun.
Yeah. Hey, folks, if you don't love baseball yet, learn more about it, because the more you know about baseball, the more interesting it is. And it's really engaging. It's really, you know, I tried to explain that to people. My son's had a couple of girlfriends. My son played baseball throughout high school. And, yeah, I tried to explain to him, his girlfriend, who doesn't know anything about baseball. I said, you know, after that pitch, everything changed. The pitcher's choices changed. The batter's choices changed. What the catcher's thinking has changed. And the outfield has just shifted. Every single pitch, something's going on, and people think it's not going on. It's pretty interesting. All right, Chris. And I know we were talking just before that we went on the air. You're involved with the schools. You said you like to be locked in with your community and kids. And you're naming your pizzas out of different schools?
Yes. We have the Bulldog, which is for West Albany Bulldogs. We have the Night Pizza with Albany Alternatives. For the South Albany Redhawks, we have a Red Hawk pizza. An interesting story, the Albany Alternative School, we had kiddos come in, and a bunch of them came in with a competition, and we had the community folks rate the pizza, and we selected a young man's pizza, and now it's the Night. It's one of our best sellers.
Really? That is so cool. So one of the kids from high school, he comes in and he goes, yeah, that's my pizza.
Right.
So
that's right. The it's Night. Got a stamp on it.
That is fantastic. Well, what's on the pizza? Tell us.
Just all kinds of ingredients, but from it's a multi-meat and significant amount of veggies on there. But just the taste that he brought to the table with just the right amount of ingredients. A lot of people had those same ingredients, but not the same amount of ingredients. Mm-hmm. And what he did was just really special.
And I want to kind of add to his story. Before he opened up, he went down to, I want to say, Vegas to choose his crust.
Correct.
The number I've heard, the number of crusts that he went through to find the one that he decided on was 800. Is that correct?
Pretty close to that, but more important than that, after the week in Vegas, 17 pounds later.
Next question. But, yeah.
We figured out that right recipe, but it was a search, about a 4-year search, actually.
Wow. So, holy cow. All right, so tell us what we're going to be able to buy at Volcano Stadium when the season starts. 4 different kinds of pizza, you said.
Correct.
Right. Are we going to buy whole pies or buy the slice or both?
We're just doing personal pizzas. So we're going to do a cheese, a pepperoni. We have a bulldog, which is multi-meat.
Is that what I have?
Yeah.
It might change to the Olympian or something like that for a local team. We'll see.
But the big one is the Volcano. That Volcano pizza is going to be something to write home to mom about.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you let the recipe out?
I absolutely cannot.
Okay. It's got a little bit of a kick. I can tell you that. We had the President's Advisory Board meeting on Tuesday, and just a nice little burn, just a nice little aftertaste. It's going to be very popular, I can tell you, at the stadium.
That sounds perfect for me.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that likes that red pepper flake on just about everything. Maybe not my breakfast cereal, but yeah, just a little bit warm, you know, and eat that. That'd be great. So who could turn down pizza?
That's right.
Hey,
that's
and Mitch, you also said Barbecue Nation. I don't think we heard about that last
Barbecue
week.
Nation. No, that beautiful brisket sandwiches, smoked brisket. They're going to have a couple different sides that you can choose from. So it's going to be like a barbecue basket, pulled pork, slow cooked pulled pork basket. And probably during the season of corn season, maybe do some street corn where you can dress your own corn with some Mexican sour cream and cilantro and all those good things that go on a traditional street corn. So, yeah, we're slowly putting together the team. There's still a couple more spaces that contemplating giving to local brick-and-mortar restaurants, and you'll be the first to hear it when it happens. Right now we got 5 confirmed.
Wow, that's incredible. In the studio with us, Chris Reese, Southpaws in Albany. They're expanding into Eugene, hopefully into Salem, but definitely in the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes. One last comment. We're down to our last minute, Mitch.
We have been chosen as the local competition venue for the pitch, hit, and run competition. I think we mentioned it quickly last week. But anyone locally that has a kid from 7 to 14, right now today, you can go to pitchhitrun.com, and you can register your kid for the competition. It is going to be May 5th, which is a Sunday, starting at 1 o'clock. You have to register ahead of time. You just go online and do it, and we'd love to see everybody there.
That'll be May 5th. Hey, everybody have a great weekend. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Morn and Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.